The following Friday broadcast is a classic edition of Compassion Radio, recorded a couple of years ago and featuring the late Reverend Dr. Norm Nelson.
For example, at 2 a.m. in the morning, just as the bars are closing, you know, and people are in their darkest hurting time, and there's no churches open, but you know what? They can still get the gospel message through our radio station, and that's what drives me. You know, I want to reach as many people for Christ, and it's a great vehicle to do it.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. Welcome to a special Friday edition of Compassion Radio, and welcome to the first day of fall. Anyone who's listened to this broadcast for any length of time will likely remember the never-ending spirit of adventure that epitomized the life of our former speaker and president, Dr. Norm Nelson, for so many years. He was quite the world traveler over his many years of ministry. But alas, the state of Alaska was one place he never quite got to, or so he thought. In today's flashback broadcast, Norm introduces a new friend that he met at the NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, I'm excited about the fact that I have a new friend, and he's from Alaska, Tom Stiegelman.
Yeah.
Wonderful to have you with us.
Well, thanks so much, Norm.
And thanks for being willing to go on video with
right.
me. It's wonderful because Compassion Radio is now heard in Anchorage, Alaska.
Yeah.
Tell us the call letters of that station, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, you're on two of our stations. You're on KATB, that's in Anchorage, and then KJLP, which is in Palmer, which is about 40 miles north of Anchorage.
All right. Tell us about Anchorage. What size city is it?
Anchorage runs about 270,000 people now.
It's not just a sort of an overblown trading post.
Right, no, it's we've got the modern conveniences now. You know, we have a Walmart. They came in a few years ago.
And university.
Yep, we have a big university that's there in town. And it's has all the modern conveniences now that, you know, anything that you would find down here in what we call the lower 48.
Sure. Tom, did you go to Alaska initially to pan gold or
no,
something? I'm representing all
right.
the misconceptions. But you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I think many of us in the lower 48, quote unquote,
right.
don't really know that much about Alaska. We think we do, but we don't.
Right.
You know, it's this big state way up there in the far northwest, encompassing part of the Arctic Circle, and that part of the year the sun shines all the time, and part
right.
of the year it never shines.
Yeah, that's true.
But aside from that sort of thing, we really don't know much about Alaska. We were just talking. You told me something that absolutely surprised me about Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know what I'm talking
right.
about. Tell me again.
Well, Anchorage is one of the most culturally diverse cities in the United States of America. Ethnically, it's a very complicated makeup of people. You know, we have a big Samoan population in Anchorage.
Right there.
Right.
Stop the tape.
Yeah.
Samoans.
Mm-hmm.
Alaska and Samoans doesn't compute for me.
Right.
How is it that you have... Apparently is somewhat significant,
right?
Samoan population, how can that be? Why would they come to Alaska? Not for the weather.
I'm sure it's not for the weather. Most people don't come up there for that. I think a lot of people, they come up there probably through jobs through the fishing industry, or maybe they're getting on with one of the oil companies or something like that. But, you know, it's more than just the Samoan population. I mean, from the Filipino population to the Hmong population is another one that's growing, a very diverse Hispanic population. Of course, there's the Alaska Natives, and, you know, there's several different ethnicities inside of the Alaska native population itself. So it's pretty unique. When they compare the lists of different ethnicities and for schools in particular, mm-hmm. Anchorage, we host the top two schools that have the most ethnic diversity. So that creates some challenges.
In the country?
In the country, right.
Now, see, we would think immediately New York,
right.
L.A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are a little lower on the list. But, yeah, Anchorage has the top two was the last numbers that I had, was able to see.
That is incredible. Now, again, the population of Anchorage is about?
About 270,000.
Yeah, 250,000 people. Mm-hmm. Is that the metropolitan area or is that? Anchorage proper.
That's Anchorage proper, the bowl,
okay.
Is what we call it.
That.
Right. Just north of Anchorage, there's what's called the Matsu Valley, and that's about 40, 50 miles away. And that has a population up there about another 60 or 70,000. Then to the south of us, is another population center, the Kenai Peninsula. There's another 30, 40,000 people down that range. So, about half of the state's population, lives within 2 hours of Anchorage.
Now, I have a question that might or might not connect with you. Mm-hmm. I've always had a certain interest myself, just me, about the indigenous population mm-hmm. of a place like Alaska. And I've thought for many years that one of the groups that I'd love to get to know more about are known as the Inuit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who I'm talking
about? I know who you're talking about. If you start asking me some deep questions, you're going to get on my knowledge range pretty quick.
But they are part of the population of Alaska.
Right.
This isn't just northern Canada. It's Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It may have something to do with the fact that when I lived back in the East Coast quite a few years ago, there was an artist there who used to do paintings and also photography of the Inuit people. And I became very much fascinated by that native group. So if we ever get a chance to come up to Alaska, and I've never been,
yeah.
I can't believe it. We were laughing about this.
Right.
Afghanistan, yes, many mm-hmm. times.
Been all over the world, but not to Alaska.
Alaska, part of our own country?
Right.
I've never been there. So yeah. I'm glad there's some place I haven't been. But I'd love to come up and perhaps learn more on site
mm-hmm.
about the Inuit.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there are many other native groups that are at least as interesting as the Inuit.
Absolutely. It's, each native population, just amazing people, things that they've gone through in their lives and, many stories of what people have been able to overcome, mm-hmm. Up in Alaska. And, Anchorage, again, makes it unique. You think about the native villages, and that's oftentimes people, that's way off in interior Alaska, but there's so many people in Anchorage that actually Anchorage is the biggest Alaska native village because of the population that lives there.
Interesting way to think about it.
Yeah, so it's a pretty neat place.
I'll bet. How is it that you ended up in Alaska then?
Well, my father was in the Air Force. And so we had been in Colorado Springs for a long time, and we moved to Florida, of all places, down to Homestead Air Force Base down on the very southern tip. And then the next assignment was Anchorage, Alaska. So that was a pretty long haul to move the family.
That sounds like the military.
Yep.
From southern Florida to Alaska.
Exactly.
And you have, 2 weeks to pack?
Yeah, pretty much. So you get your orders and you go.
What was it like for you as a youngster?
Mm-hmm.
To go from a tropical or subtropical climate
right.
like Florida and to suddenly be thrust into anything but that.
Yeah, my introduction, my last day in Florida, I went fishing with my father and, of all things, caught a lobster and reeled that in. So we had lobster on our way out and then flew right into a 3-day snowstorm the next day. So it was pretty amazing. But, Alaska has just been a great place. Because of the military, my high school in Alaska, that was my fifth high school. Just because we were bouncing back and forth everywhere. But I'm very glad we were there because I ended up meeting my wife in high school and we're still married today and that was a great thing.
That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful thing. I'm wondering also if the military component of Alaska is another reason for the diversity of the state.
I think so. There's two military bases. Well, now it's a joint base, but an Army and an Air Force that are together in Anchorage. And then, of course, we have bases all throughout the state. Alaska is very strategic where we're placed at. You know, it's a quick response area, and, you know, particularly with things, you know, coming up now, you know, North Korea in particular and those kind of things, Alaska is even a more strategic launching point, if you will. And, you know, it's, as they term up there, it's top cover, you know, for the United States. You know, particularly with Russia and, you know, being right across the ocean there.
You're listening to a special Friday flashback broadcast of Compassion Radio, and we'll get you right back to the interview in just a moment. You know, friend, one easy way you can make an impact on the world this month is by supporting our Bibles for Slovenia project. And know the thrill of placing a Bible into the hands of a Slovene new believer. For your gift this month of $24 or more, we'd be delighted to send you a very special premium in the form of a dual language Bible. And prayerfully consider joining our vision team with your consistent monthly gift to help keep Compassion Radio on the air on this radio station you're now listening to. Reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. And you can always find us online anytime, day or night, at CompassionRadio.com. Let's get you back now to today's program.
I'd like to know also now, Tom, how is it that you ended up in Christian radio?
Well, that comes back to the to a TV ministry that the church I attend has. It's Anchorage Baptist Temple there in Anchorage. And my mom started watching that when we were in Alaska. And she started attending the church because she was seeing it on TV. And then convinced my dad to start going. And then my brothers and sisters started going. And, you know, everybody's getting saved and accepting Christ. And I was kind of the last holdout in the family.
You were the stubborn one.
I was the stubborn one. My wife and I, after we were married, we were attending a different church and then started going to the Baptist temple, and I ended up accepting Christ at one of their Easter pageants. You know, so we started attending there, and, you know, this whole TV ministry kind of had an attraction to me, and there was an opportunity to volunteer for it. So I did, and one of the nights upstairs in the production room, there was some scuttlebug going on because I didn't realize it, but KATB was located in the church. And it was kind of funny because I was listening to KATB quite a bit, and probably more so than my family. The radio station convinced me to go to the church. And, but in any event, so they were having a struggle because their Sunday night operator was stuck in Fairbanks because of a snowstorm. So I made the off-the-cuff comment, well, you know, if you'd show me what to do, you know, I could, you know, volunteer on occasion. And a mutual friend of ours, Mike Murray, was the general manager. Caught wind of that and then hired me as a weekend operator. So I did that for about 4 years. And, you know, then the door opened up for me to be able to work there full time. And I jumped at that as soon as I could.
You didn't go to college in order to get your technical training then?
I did not. I went to college. I was an accountant, and I was working for the state of Alaska at the time when the full-time position came open. And so I was doing child support enforcement, of all things. And my wife and I were talking, and, you know, kind of the story is, you know, we were sitting around going, boy, it'd be great to work at the radio stations, but they can't do this. They can't, you know, all the can'ts. That there was nothing they could do. And then, you know, Mike gave me a call one day, and we met for lunch, and, you know, he said, well, we'd like to bring you on as our program director. Here's what we can do. And it was the same list. So it's like, well, you know, I think God's telling us something. So
I think he was.
So we took the leap and haven't looked back ever since.
Now, you are general manager.
Correct.
What does a general manager do? Everything, probably.
Everything, that's right. From whatever needs to be done, you know, the general manager takes care of it. You know, I have a staff of 12 people, you know, to assist in things, but I really believe in the servant leadership example. And so, you know, I'm not above mopping the floors if they need to be mopped or vacuuming or anything like that.
What kind of coverage, how much of the area around Alaska or around Anchorage does your station cover?
Well, we, you know, the population centers we were talking about earlier, the Mat-Su Valley, Anchorage itself, and the Kenai Peninsula is generally where we're limited to. We do that with our main frequency on KATB of 89.3, and then we have a series of translators to help fill in, because it's a pretty mountainous area. So there's a little town, Eagle River, which technically is part of Anchorage. It's about 10 miles to the north. We have a great big transmitter and can't reach it. So, because there's so many mountains in the way. With the translators, you know, we're able to do that. And, you know, over the years, God's blessed us because in addition to KATB, we have a music station. That's a full-blown commercial station. We've just recently bought an AM station, and we're about to build another AM station in the Anchorage area, too.
What kind of program content would these new stations have? How do they complement what you're already doing?
Well, we try to mix things up as much as we can. With the new stations that are coming on, the one that we just purchased, it's designed right now as a political talk station and a conservative talk. And we kind of like that format. And what our goal is, we don't want to lose that audience because those are going to be generally people who maybe are not going to church. So our plan of attack, for lack of a better word, there is we're going to take most of the commercial breaks and use those as gospel spots, and short feature programs and those type things. And, you know, we'll put in some longer form, you know, more Christian-based programs. But really want to use that as a way to draw people in and kind of ease them into the gospel.
How do you define your calling, Tom, with regard to the ministry of broadcasting? I think some people might think that, well, he's on the radio. He runs a radio station or two or three stations. And sure, music, that's important. You have a program, a station that has that content. But when you put it all together, what is the purpose of the ministry of your stations put together there in the Anchorage area?
You know, our overall mission, I mean, obviously, we want to reach people for Christ. And I think those of us at the radio station, we have several examples of employees on our own staff, myself included, whose lives were changed because of radio. And that's our slogan for KATB. It's life-changing radio, because that's really what it does. Christian radio is different than anything else that's out there. And the unique thing about Christian radio is, you know, we're on 24 hours a day. We're on 7 days a week.
Wow.
You know, if somebody's driving in their car, they can hear the radio station. Mm-hmm. If they're working out, they can hear the radio station. If they're at home, they can hear the radio station. And one of our pastor friends put it very eloquently several years ago. You know, at 2 a.m. in the morning, when all the church doors are closed, KATB's on, broadcasting the gospel. And that's what it's all about. You know, we're reaching people, you know, for example, at 2 a.m. in the morning, just as the bars are closing. You know, and people are in their darkest hurting time.
Sure.
And there's no churches open. But you know what? They can still get the gospel message through our radio station. And that's what drives me, is, you know, I want to reach as many people for Christ. And it's a great vehicle to do it.
I should say so. Let me ask you this. Now, I'm not pushing you to say anything in particular. We actually talked about this, and in a way, I was kind of backing off from doing an interview with you that would involve in any way talking about compassion radio. But how does compassion radio fit into the calling that you have and that your broadcasting station has a capacity to do? How do we fit into that calling?
Well, you guys have a unique ministry and a unique style, I think, to a lot of programs that are out there. It's not, you know, there's a lot of great programs out there that are just cuts of great sermons, you know, that people have done. And, you know, God bless that they're out there, and people need to hear those, and we have those on. And, you know, we have other ones that are straight-up counseling programs, you know, that we put on the radio. You know, you fit a unique niche, in my opinion, just on your style, the way that you do the programs. You're highlighting a lot of things that maybe Christians don't realize that are happening, whether it's here in the United States, around the world, wherever it could be. And And I think that attracts people to the radio because it's something different. We don't want people just to keep listening to the radio station to, you know, for great ratings and those kind of things, which, you know, as a radio guy, it's always nice. I mean, don't get me wrong. But, you know, the more people that are listening, obviously, the more people we have an opportunity to reach. And you don't hide the fact where you're coming from. And, you know, and I certainly appreciate that. And that's really what it's all about, is getting together and having the gospel go out there. You know, there's only so much we can do as radio operators. Mm-hmm. You know, so ministries like yours play a very critical role in what we're able to do to reach people. And I know it's a team effort because neither one of us can survive without the other. And so it's really a great partnership.
You know, it's interesting. My name is Norman. Mm-hmm. My first name, my given name, it's Norman. It comes from a Scandinavian root that means man of the north. Hmm. I'm a northern guy. I'm proud of that name.
Yeah.
And I've always had a particular attraction to the north country. At one time in my life when I lived back on the East Coast in the northeast, the far northeast part of the country, about as far northeast as you can go in the U.S. Having left California to go there, I was told by one person after another, Norman, you're going to hate it. Well, they usually call me Norm, but
right.
Norm, you're going to hate it there. Wait till the weather comes. Oh, yeah, you're going to be there in the late summer. It's beautiful. Then fall comes, the leaves change, and you're just going to think it's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. But wait till winter hits. You're going to want to come back to California. And they were all feeling sorry for me. Mm-hmm. You know what? They were absolutely wrong. I am a man of the north. Mm-hmm. I love the warm, sunny climes. I'll take a day on the beach if I have a little vacation time. Anytime you want to mention, I'll be glad to have that wonderful, sunny, clear blue sky. I love that. But there is something special about the North Country for me. My family comes from the North. I was named as a man of the North. I feel that. I have that in my bones. It is not difficult for me to feel very strongly about a place like Alaska. Mm-hmm. And because of you and the opportunity that God has given us there in Anchorage to broadcast the good news of Jesus Christ. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I am so glad that we've had the opportunity to meet today mm-hmm. and to talk about the wonderful outreach that you have and will have as long as the Lord tarries. I want to thank you for being willing to come with us. I have a bad cold today. Everybody can tell. But it's been an absolutely wonderful experience to get to know you. Thank you for having us mm-hmm. on your station, and God bless Alaska and the people to whom we minister and serve. And God bless you, Tom.
All right. Well, thank you, and just appreciate everything you're doing, and can't wait to have you up there one day.
We'll be there.
Okay.
We're so blessed this month to be able to partner with a very special organization. I think we say that every month, but they all are very special organizations. But Josiah Venture is something that really is amazing. These young people are just incredible, and what they are accomplishing for the Lord is unprecedented in former communist countries. That is our compassion project for this month. But as you know, we have to pay the bills before we can reach out in love, and we want so much to bless this project. So we need your help, friends. We really need your support. I know that you're listening. I know that you're out there. So please, in love, keep us going. Let us help the amazing things that we bring to you. And this month, for a gift of $24 or more, we have a special gift to send to you. You know that our project is giving Bibles to new believers in the new translation for Slovenia. But we have a dual language Bible for you as a gift. It will be one of the Slavic languages and English. We want you to be able to see what the new believers there will be receiving. So our gift to you, if you request it, will be a dual language Slavic English Bible for your gift of $24 or more. Please know that we know it's difficult, that we know the economy is difficult for many people. But we don't want to lose our voice bringing you the stories of what's happening around the world. We don't want to lose our opportunity to bring Christians to you that need your love and support and your prayer. Please love us. And please, if you haven't, join our vision team. God bless you.
Yes, friend, the vision team is so very important. In whatever amount you can commit to on a monthly basis to support this ministry, be it $20, $30, or $50 a month, would be a tremendous blessing. Reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or on the World Wide Web at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the team, I'm Jim Governale, and we'll be back again tomorrow with more Compassion Radio.